Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Text Message with me, Nate Langson. Hello.
And hi. And me, Ian Morris. Hello.
I came up with a life hack over the last couple of weeks I wanted to share with you, Ian. It involves brushing one's teeth.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to know what it is?
Yes, please.
Good. It's called playing solitaire / patience while brushing one's teeth. I find brushing my teeth to be exceptionally boring.
That is true.
There's not really much you can do. And much as I relish the joy of silence and giving oneself a bit of peace in the day and not filling the day with absolutely anything because that annoys me, I do find that standing and brushing the teeth is, for some reason, incredibly dull and tedious. If you play solitaire while doing it, the time just flies by.
Are we talking about solitaire with a deck of cards or solitaire on a device of some kind?
Well, not with a deck of cards. That would be ambitious in a bathroom. But I mean this in the digital form on a phone.
Why don't you just, you know, browse the internet or something?
Because
watch a TikTok.
Because
you've got more weird TikToks to send me, haven't you?
I don't know what it is. It's something about specifically playing that little game doesn't feel like wasting time in the way that social media does. And it feels like I'm doing a little bit with my brain while doing a little bit with my hand, so to speak.
Yes.
And it's quite nice. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that because I'm in the mood for sharing today. That is today's word of the day, sharing.
Okay. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that, but I appreciate the insight.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some news because later on we're going to talk about things that aren't news. They're just things that have happened to us. Specifically, I bought a new Mac and need to justify it. So what I would actually have liked to talk about today is that there were some stories over the last couple of days.
Yes.
About a UK law firm considering taking legal action against a certain popular streaming platform. In fact, we need to say the name, Netflix, because there was some, I've not seen it, but there's some
real world
Squid Game game.
It's really good, actually.
Right, so it's real people doing dangerous things.
Not dangerous, but
in the vein of the actual game Squid Game. Now,
exactly.
We're not going to talk about it, but we are going to mention it here briefly. That apparently some people got injured, and I have absolutely zero sympathy.
Me too.
Because the whole premise of Squid Game and the reason it was so popular is because huge numbers of people competed against very damaged individuals at games that were clearly fatal in the making.
Yes.
And died horribly. And if you volunteer to be part of a real version of that game and you hurt yourself, then I'm sorry, you've only got you and your stupid brain and your stupid decisions to blame. So
that's basically what I thought. I mean, I can see. So they did, they recorded it in a cold snap in the UK last year.
Yeah.
And the outdoor bit where they do the red light, green light game,
right,
I think took a really, really long time to do. And you can see
why.
Oh, they
got cold, did they?
And they got very, very cold.
Oh, dear. It's almost like they signed up thinking it was a game based on hugs and cuddles and staying warm. Idiots. Anyway.
It's ridiculous. And Mike in the chat says, I fail to see what Netflix's liability here is. Quite. I mean, you know, it wasn't fatal. Like, if someone had actually, you know, died, I could see the argument. But they needed treatment, I think, in a hospital. I think, you know, that is the risk of any of these sort of outdoor games. I mean, you know, the Japanese have been at it with, what's it called, Takeshi's Castle or similar for quite some time. And people just seem to suck that up. And that looks far worse, frankly.
I don't know. It's nuts, and it was shot. A bit of that was shot in Britain, apparently.
I think it all was.
Was it?
Wow. Yeah.
Should have taken a page from the Total Wipeout book and shoot it in. Where's Argentina? They shoot
it. Yeah. It looks incredible. It's well worth watching just to see how they've physically, because in Squid Game, most of those sets are not real. You know, there are small portions of them and the rest is CG or, you know, visual effects. But obviously to do a game show in that, you have to actually build it. It's very impressive.
Anyway, for a story that we said we weren't going to talk about except briefly, we've talked about it for quite a considerable amount of time. So.
Well, only because I've just been watching it. Like, I've literally just watched it. So that it was fresh in my mind, and it's well worth watching. I was skeptical, but it's got lots of Americans on all saying we've got this and making outrageous claims that cannot be substantiated in games of chance. It's really very entertaining.
I won't be watching it. It sounds terrible, and
it's not. You should,
and I have no sympathy for them. I wish it the worst. So the Register gave birth to our first actual story this week. So Ian very kindly wiped away the afterbirth and read from the newborn's face. Sorry for the mental image there. I don't know what that's about.
Absolutely horrendous.
The news is as follows. The UK's Information Commissioner's Office has insisted that opting out of cookies must be as simple as opting in. Essentially, users need to be able to click a accept all button or a reject all button.
Sounds good.
For advertising cookies. These are the things that are supposedly useful that pop up every time you visit a bloody website and says, do you accept? We respect your privacy. What I actually mean is we respect your ability to complain about us to a body that has a modest amount of power to enforce infractions of a law. Anyway, the ICO said some websites aren't giving users fair enough choices. And I think we've all seen this, where there's a very big green attractive button to accept everything. And sometimes to hunt around or just to opt out, you have to hunt around and there's something like a check my options and you click on that and then you have to untick all these boxes. And it really is a faff, even though I do it when required. So the idea here is that you have to have a big attractive button that says no. Anyway, ICO said that some websites are not following through in the UK. They are not making it clear enough. They are supposed to make it easy to opt out, and they are not doing. So they have given them 30 days notice. These are some of the UK's most visited websites, and apparently these are egregiously disobeying the rules of the road, and so they've got to comply, or they face fines, which could be as much as either £17.5 million, not a lot of money, or 4% of their annual worldwide turnover in the preceding financial year, whichever is highest. And I strongly suspect if you're a very large website, then your 4% is probably going to be higher than £17 million. Anyway, the annoying thing is the company that is the ICO has not said which websites are the worst offenders. And I've had a devil of a job, Ian, trying to find out. I went through the comments page on the Register article that I found this on to see if anyone flagged any. And the only one I could see hypothesized about is the Daily Mail, based on a user's experience. But that's conjecture and untested by me, because I'd rather rub eucalyptus oil into my eyeballs than visit the Daily Mail's website. So anyway, I'm a bit confused. I thought we'd moved beyond all the cookie nonsense after Brexit. Apparently not. Apparently our exit from the EU couldn't even give us this one good thing, and some websites are still abusing it. So, Ian, opinions. I'm sure you have them. Please dispense them into my head.
I mean, this absolutely is. I absolutely want this to happen, 100%. We need to dissuade companies from behaving in this way. But can I tell you that if you get Ghostery, a plugin available for all major browsers, it will automatically opt you out of all of those tracking things. Basically, the thing pops up, you give it somewhere between no seconds and 5 seconds, and the box just goes away with do not consent handed over automatically. It is game changing. I absolutely love it.
Ghostery. So, I have
well worth it.
It.
Yeah, Ghostery is great.
I didn't know it did that. I pay for something called I think it's called One Blocker, that's supposed to do that, as well as many other things. And but it doesn't seem to be doing a good enough job, because I do still get quite a few cookie pop-ups. Kate our live chat says, I have Ghostery. Mine doesn't seem to do that. Is there a setting I have to turn on? Almost certainly.
There is. It should ask you. But I'm just having a look through. There should be an option in the settings that's just called Never Consent. So have a look for that.
This just shouldn't be a thing. We shouldn't need a tool like this. And it's annoying. And the thing is that makes me even more annoyed about this is that the people that put these rules into place, and someone did, I see in a comment somewhere, they'd said, oh, this is GDPR. And I don't think it's GDPR. I think it's a different one. It's called something else, like the privacy something rights something. I think it's short to, is it PECR? I should have put this in the script. I didn't. I can only remember that because I thought it sounded like Pecker, which I thought was funny. But it feels like the people that put these laws in place are also web users and presumably are just as naffed off by the whole thing as we are. And yet still, it persists like a cold sore on the face of a bad decision.
Yes. I mean, that would be my take. It annoys everyone. And for some reason, it's still going on. It's become a joke because obviously the law mandated that we had to be given the opportunity and it became worse than just being opted in automatically because you feel like it's a job and it takes ages to do. And often there are, you know, like I liken it to smart TVs where essentially you're forced to decline every single agreement. So it involves going through something like 300 tick boxes to say, no, I don't consent to this one. No, I don't consent to this one. There is no, I don't consent to all of these. If you want to have any control over it, you have to do it manually. And it sort of feels like that with the web as well. And, you know, some websites are absolutely terrible for it. You know, there'll be a list and you will have to untick every box, every partner that they send data to. The other advantage of Ghostery is that it just flat out blocks tracking anyway. So it blocks ads, it blocks tracking. It's pretty good on YouTube ads. You know, you can whitelist YouTube if you're happy to support them in their quest to annoy us all with constant advertising. But it's just good around the web. And, you know, we all know that internet ads are a vector for malware and viruses. So really, they deserve to be turned off. In fact, a lot of companies do it by default.
I've said this before, that ads on the web currently are among the least annoying parts of browsing the web, which is a very strange thing. In a world of cookie pop-ups and autoplay videos and please disable this, or I'm sorry, we don't have a GDPR compliant version so you can't visit our website. Like, all of these things just make it so annoying to browse the web. And actually, I'd give a lot to go back to a world where the annoying thing was an ad in the corner of the page, because at least the page is loaded and you could read the damn content. I'm in a very grisly mood today, and I don't know why, because I've actually had a very good day.
If you visit one of the Daily Mirror's sites, or you know, any of the regional ones that reach home, you can't even see the content on a phone. It's so festooned with advertising. And I'm like, do they think this is the way to go about this? Is this really how they think they're going to survive the next 10 years? Because it isn't, frankly. And it's such a horrible experience. I would never willingly click on anything without having, you know, going through Ghostery first, or, you know, or anything just better than the standard experience, which is unreadable.
My favorite tactic of a website is that bit where you scroll down the page and wait for a moment, and then it asks you to subscribe to a newsletter. And I think, well, you've just got in the way of the one thing that you had my attention with. Why do you think this is the appropriate time to try and get me to do something else? It's along the same lines as pressing play on a streaming service. And just before you press play and get to see the thing that you want to see, you're shown an ad for, hey, I see you're trying to watch the thing you've paid for. How about this other thing? That's annoying.
Yes, that irritates me as well.
While I'm on the subject, that other bit that the websites do these days, which is where you scroll back up to the address bar and it detects that and says, hey, before you leave,
Yes.
Please, such and such. I'm like, get out of my mind, you cretin.
Yeah, it's the it's anything that happens on that mouse moving up towards the top of the screen. I just do not want to be involved with your website anymore. I don't know who thought that was a good idea or why they think they've got the right to interrupt my mousing, but they don't.
Yes.
And I hate them for it.
Do you know what, though? I bet it's effective. I bet it worked. I bet all of these things actually work really well, and that's why they keep happening.
Well, not for me.
No, well, no, that's true.
I was just looking for... I've got a screenshot somewhere of a mirror group or, you know, a Reach site that has... I was going to try and put it in the chat, but I can't find it now. I'll see if I can get it later because it's so funny what you can actually see in the web page. Nothing, essentially. Anyway, do carry on.
Thank you. Kate in the live chat says, newspaper pop-ups are awful, but small businesses don't really have a choice because social media is so bad for reaching people now. Newsletters are basically the most reliable way of promoting themselves, and pop-ups do work well, unfortunately. That's the thing. I actually agree with the whole concept of newsletters because the social media experience is, I think to use the industry term, piss poor. I think it's... Do you know what it is? It's not even... The more I think about it, it's not even the popping up of the subscription. It's the fact that they always completely obscure the entire screen. That's the bit that bugs me. But as Kate says, it's probably very, very effective.
Maybe. But that doesn't mean it's a good experience for anyone. And that doesn't mean that, you know, it might be somewhat useful for grabbing a few people. But once those people have been got, you're not going to... It's just going to annoy people.
Hmm. Well, have you been annoyed by a thing recently? If so, let us know that thing by sending us an email, hello@uktechshow.com. If you've also got an example of a particularly egregious use of cookie pop-ups and the lack of reject all ability therein, then do send us that again. And that would just be tremendously helpful. hello@uktechshow.com.
So Nate, a few years ago, the BBC told me that it wasn't ready or capable of providing broadcast TV over broadband. Not because people weren't ready as such, but because the infrastructure to serve such a large percentage of the public via the internet was simply too demanding. Now, that hasn't stopped the debate continuing around spectrum allocation. And mobile networks, want broadcast TV to share their spectrum with mobile, or maybe even to shut down broadcast altogether at some point in the future and use that capacity for mobile services. That has its merits, I've no doubt, but seriously doubt the British public is quite ready for that yet. The debate... in this particular example, is around the frequencies around 470 to 694 megahertz. I'm sure you're very familiar with them.
Oh, we're best friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And it might not be too surprising either to note that EE, Vodafone and Three, and O2 also actually, all want this spectrum to be shared, while the broadcasters are less keen for obvious reasons. And we shouldn't forget that mobile networks want this to make more money, possibly by charging us to get the TV over the services that were free, our spectrum, essentially, because it is ours. But they want to get their, you know, fat sausages into it. Now, I should point out that the proposal here is for something called co-primary allocation, meaning that the spectrum would be more open to either mobile or digital TV or some sort of mix of the two. So maybe taking some of the spectrum away for mobile. But it's likely going to need a pan-European decision because obviously there is quite a lot of, you know, risk of interference. You couldn't have, say, France saying yes to this and Germany saying no, because that would cause all sorts of problems. So I guess, Nate, the question for you and our live chat is, what do we think of this? Do we think that we should accept that the days of over-the-air broadcast are coming to an end? Or is it something we should keep fighting to keep?
Well, is the argument here that somebody wants to turn off Freeview so that the mobile networks can give speedier service, and because you now can broadcast over mobile networks, then you should?
No, I don't think that's quite what they're saying. So this is the World Radio Communications Conference, WRC 23. And it has representatives from UK broadcasters. I think they provide a submission through Ofcom. And they get to have their say about how they think that the spectrum should be used in the future. So I think it's not so much necessarily that we're in immediate risk of them turning it off, but it's quite obvious that that's the way it's going. It feels to me like there are, you know, with the decreasing amount of people who watch over-the-air TV and the increasing amount that watch it on demand, you might argue that using that space for TV is wasteful, perhaps even, because it's a minority of people probably at this point. Maybe not a minority, but certainly the smart switched on people, and that sounds rude, but, you know, like, it's the people who are still using aerials are likely to be older people. They're likely to be people who maybe don't have access to good quality internet access. So I'm not in any way suggesting that that would be the right decision, because actually it's those people that we should be fighting harder to protect.
Well,
but I think can I mix it up a bit? Yeah, go on.
Can I throw a spanner into your works?
Of course you can.
Okay,
spanner away.
Okay, here it comes. There it went. I just put up an aerial on top of my house.
Yes, and you're very online and switched
on. And I'm
on.
Very not a pensioner.
Very not a pensioner.
And I mean, I should point out, actually, it blew off the roof the other day during that storm we had.
Oh, no.
Which was disappointing. It's currently standing on the patio around the back of the house and seems to get generally perfect reception, with the exception of the creation.
It's just
craft.
A bit unsightly, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I keep meaning to go back up there, but I have better things to do, so haven't. But it will go back up. But the reason for putting the aerial up there isn't because we don't have the ability to stream TV. It's that I like being able to have the TV over the air move into my media center, which then allows me to do much more with it than I can do by streaming from iPlayer. I can consolidate the TV broadcast into the media server, which powers everything that we have in the house. And on top of that, the quality is a hell of a lot better, as is the frame rate.
Is it?
Yes, it is. BBC HD comes into my machine at something like 10 megabits per second.
Oh, right. I'm with you. Yes. So over the air is better. Yeah, of course it is.
It's so There's much no, better. And I think, no that brainer. Gets, I think that gets lost in the argument here, that actually the quality is significantly better. It
yeah,
is really good. Really good.
I agree.
Good.
I mean, I'm all for, because I Blu-rays, Ultra HD Blu-rays, all these things, you know, they're all better than streaming. Streaming's garbage. And if people, you know, and I realize that convenience for most people trumps almost everything else. But the fact is, it is extremely low quality streaming for lots of reasons. It might be your internet's not quite good enough. It might be that the compression is just a bit garbage. But generally speaking, if you were to get a nice Ultra HD Blu-ray, the quality is like nothing you've ever experienced. It's like being in a cinema. So I'm all for traditional formats and broadcasts, because people put a lot of effort into it. Like the broadcast chain, there's people spend a lot of time thinking about that and building it in a way that delivers the maximum possible quality.
So let's go back to your question about turning things off, because not all channels are born equal.
No.
There are really good channels like BBC Four, and to a lesser extent, BBC Two, Create and Craft, Challenge, and then there
Challenge.
Are...
Yes. I mean, you don't need much bandwidth for Challenge, given that almost all of its library is from the late 80s and early 90s.
Yes. And then you've got the less important channels, like... let's have a
TV
look.
4 plus 1.
Yeah, that's a really good example. Now, I would be happy, very happy, in fact, to dispense with ITV 4 plus 1.
Yes.
In order
Any
to...
plus 1, really, is unnecessary.
Yeah, let's just do minus... Let's just do plus 0. And use that bandwidth, that spectrum, to increase the capacity of 5G or increase the reach of something else. And I'm hoping, Ian, that you're going to give the answer to why that's not possible. But I just
no, well,
think...
I mean, it sort of is possible. And that, you might say that's part of what they're sort of proposing here, is the idea that some of those frequencies will be refarmed for 5G, 6G, whatever. And there's quite they're quite wide channels, so that you can get quite a lot of resources into them. That would reduce the amount of available stuff on Freeview, but would it reduce it to only the good things? You know, would it be BBC 1, 2, 3, 4? You know, BBC 1, 2, 3, 4, ITV 1 and 2, maybe, or three, maybe 3 and 4 as well. Channel 4, Film 4, and Channel 5. You know, if it was just those channels, would anyone be too fussed? Do we need home shopping TV? I don't even know what's on Freeview anymore. I do not have an aerial.
I will tell you now that the Create and Craft channel, which is home shopping, is, I mean, it's certainly Kate's favourite channel. It's part of the reason that we keep the TV plugged into the aerial, because she watches that more than anything else. But I just had a quick look at ITVB, which includes The Only Way is Essex, The Real Housewives of Cheshire, and Sam and Billy, The Mummy Diaries. Not only is that vacuous and pointless, and really we could all easily live without any of that, there's also ITVB plus one. So if you missed The Real Housewives of Cheshire, heaven forbid, you can watch it 1 hour later. Now, that doesn't help you if you're 2 hours late.
No.
So surely, what's the point? Get rid of it.
No, no, I agree with that.
No one needs it.
And you know, there is definitely an argument to be made for that. I think the problem is that once you start down this path, it becomes somewhat of an unstoppable machine, and the point becomes that, well, now people aren't getting very much value from their Freeview, so we might as well shut it down and take it all online. Now, we're just not going to be able to do that. It's not going to be practical. There are plenty of parts of the country where there is no decent broadband infrastructure. You know, if these mobile networks were legally mandated to provide free broadband to every bit of the country or something, you know, where there was no other way for people to get broadband, then I could see your argument. Maybe that might be perfectly valid. But as it stands, that's not going to happen. That what they're going to do is they're going to take the spectrum that we own, and then they're going to sell it back to us, and we're not going to get anything for it. Unlike TV, where at least we're getting a service that we don't have to buy expensive equipment for, that we, apart from the license fee, don't really have to spend a huge amount of a subscription on, that doesn't increase massively once every year in line with inflation. You know, these are all things to think about. And the quality argument as well, you know, like delivering high quality TV, and it also preventing the expansion of Freeview means that we'll never get 4K over the air in an ongoing and reliable way. And that would be good if we could have 4K Freeview. But it won't happen if we're chunking that bandwidth off to mobile providers, because we'll never get it back.
I was just looking at this channel, Yars, channel 211 on Freeview. Currently, 1 hour of almost naked animals all day. And
sorry, hold on. Almost naked animals. I mean, animals are naked. That's...
It says, the summary, 7 free-spirited underwear-clad animals run a beachfront hotel called the Banana Cabana and do their best to make each day more fun than the last.
This is either brilliant or absolutely terrible. I don't know which. I haven't seen it.
I don't know. I just feel like we could probably do without that. I don't feel like anyone's life's going to be made worse because they don't have access to nearly naked animals running a beachfront hotel. Maybe I'm just being biased, but I just think that's my point. That said, on Mech Plus, channel 290, they are screening Robot Wars, by the looks of it, all day, which seems like a brilliant use of spectrum. You better keep that one around.
Yes, there we go. I mean, there's also That's Christmas currently streaming on Freeview. That doesn't seem necessary.
No, I've seen that. It's funny that that's playing in November, because not only is it pointless, it's also a lie. It's not Christmas, it's November.
Yes, and then there's That's 60s. I don't know what that does. There's quite a lot of stuff that I hadn't actually realised was on Freeview. I mean, I haven't looked at Freeview for years.
Well, you have access to my media server, and I have the Freeview thing plugged all the way through that. So you can check that at any time. The quality,
I could.
Is excellent.
I'm probably still not going to, though.
No. You'd be missing out on Create and Craft.
I don't feel that I am. I already feel like there's not enough time in the day to, well, I say do things, but that's not really what I do. There's not enough time in the day for me to idly watch television as it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah. Well,
you're missing really.
I'd welcome emails on this subject from people. You know, what do you think? Do you think that we could do without great movies extra?
Plus one.
Yeah. Well, great TV has a plus one. Great movies extra doesn't. But there is great Christmas mix and Blaze. I don't know what any of these things do.
I think this conversation's run its course. Hello at uktechshow.com is where you can send us your opinion on which channels on Freeview should be axed in favour of freeing up more spectrum for mobile broadband. I think we are conclusive in our assessment, but what do you think?
Gems TV has to go.
Let us know. Rich Bruce, by the way, just pointed this out in the live chat, says where we live, we can only get a few channels over the air. We use FreeSat instead and find it's great. What I will point out is it's basically the same. It's just delivered over satellite instead.
Well, maybe that's the answer. Maybe we say, okay, well, we're going to just use satellite instead of that. But someone's still got to pay for it, right? We've still got to transition all the aerials over to satellite dishes. It's a challenge.
It is, yeah. And one involves sending things into space, which I find generally complicates all things. I'd like to thank our patrons for supporting us, much like a truss.
Yes.
Not a Liz truss, just a general truss. People like John and Mike and Rich, they're listening to us live right now, and everyone who supports us on Patreon can do that. Patreon.com/UKTech. That's where to go to get the ad-free version of the show and the full version of the show and the back catalogue and all that good stuff. Thank you. And
Be one of the hands that supports us during a crowd surf.
Yes, exactly.
Running your hands across our backs as we podcast into the next century.
And for those of you currently with a mental image of almost touching Ian slightly too affectionately, he apologizes for that mental image. But you can also support us, fortunately, for free by leaving us a review in Apple Podcasts, starring us in Spotify. They are the best way of supporting us because it helps us find new listeners, and yes, we could always do with more new listeners.
Tell a friend. We won't check, but if you do, that would be helpful.
It would. Anyway, if you're getting the longer full version of the show, then you're about to hear another story, and here it comes. That's going to do it for this week. Ian, it's been a great pleasure for me. I hope it has been for you.
Very much so. I think we did a good job today.
And I hope it's been worth it for listeners. We'll be back in another week. And until then, I wish you all a fun and frolicking end of this month we called November.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.